KFIZ News Time is 10:11, 11 minutes past 10 o'clock here on a Tuesday, second day of March of 2021. Spencer Wagon here with you as we roll on this morning, kick off hour number three, and it's time for us to take a little time out for some history. We, a couple times a month, chat with Tracy Reinhart from the Fond du Lac County Historical Society or others when she's not available, but she always has some interesting local history topics to discuss with us, and the same is true for today's segment here on a Tuesday. Tracy, good morning. Happy March. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. It's like, is this cold weather March coming in like a lamb or a lion? I want to know.
I'd say it's a lamb. Could certainly be worse, but I like the 40s, and I like that 51 that's at least in the forecast for next Monday. Let's hope it holds true. We'll see what happens.
Right? I like all my snow has disappeared on my lawn.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah, we still got some. We got some smaller piles here at the station. So if anybody's looking for snow, you're welcome to take it. But we are going to talk. It is Women's History Month, and we are going to talk about some women's history on the segment here for today. And there's obviously lots of opportunities for women in the working world today, but back in history, there weren't so many. So we're going to talk about women's occupations.
No, one of the most common occupations, for example. If a young woman suddenly lost her husband, there she is without an income. One of the most common occupations that they then used were their skills as dressmakers. And so there were a lot of women who first would advertise as a dressmaker and would make clothing for other people. And this isn't quite what you would think of today because we do have at the Historical Society some of these dressmaking templates that was used back in the 20s. And what it was is it's a template. I don't want to say it's on cardboard, but it's on a very stiff kind of thick paper. And there were holes punched in this for each measurement. So it was like for so many inches on the waist, there were holes there. And so she would put her pencil in that hole and draw her own pattern for each specific client that she had. It was kind of interesting to see that and to see this template of how they made, one template was for the tops, one for the sleeves, and different necklines. It was kind of interesting to think of all that they went through at this time as a dressmaker or a milliner. Some women just like to make the hat. So you could go into business that way, and usually from their home. I had one surprise because I have a city directory here from 1936, and there are 29 dressmakers in Fond du Lac.
Wow.
There are two in Brandon, three in Campbellsport, two in Mount Calvary, three in Ripon, and five dressmakers in Rosendale.
Wow.
So they all advertised in the city directory here. So that was kind of astonishing. What caught my eye is the name of one of these women I've run into in my genealogy research. So when, and it wasn't as a dressmaker, she was actually a midwife.
Mm-hmm.
So once women started having their babies in the hospital, she must have needed a new occupation. So now she's a dressmaker.
Got it.
Because, in the late 20s, early 30s, you started to have your babies in the hospital rather than a home delivery.
Sure.
In the years and years before then, this Mrs. Ida Icks was listed as a midwife on a lot of my maternal grandmother's births. So whenever she had a kid, she had this woman come as midwife.
Okay.
So it was kind of surprising to see that name pop up here.
Okay.
And And then in 2 years later, the number of dressmakers has dropped because now a lot of people were getting the ready-to-wear. So it dropped from 29. In 2 years, there were 29 dressmakers in 36, and then in 1938, there were only 21.
Okay.
So business is kind of dropping off there.
Sure.
One of the other options, if you weren't good at making dresses, or if that wasn't your thing, or you didn't want people coming to your home, and you didn't have a setup, then there was always the model laundry, or working in one of the laundries in the Fond du Lac. They would take women as employees. In 1936, there were four laundries in Fond du Lac. One was Fond du Lac Steam Laundry, and it's listed here, 34 East 1st Street. And then we had the Model Laundry, was at 64 to 70 South Main. And then we had two Chinese laundries. Sun Lee was at 11 South Main, which I've seen pictures. It's right about where Edith, or right to the north of where Edith is right now. It was at 11 South Main. That was a Chinese laundry. There was also Y Young on 17 East 2nd Street. So we had a couple of Chinese laundries there. And so that was another occupation. If you weren't a good dressmaker, then you just went and worked at these laundries. Model laundry. The third main business in Fond du Lac that actually took women as employees was also you worked at Infant Socks, because that was knitting and making the socks, stockings, all this. And so that was another part of the women's work kind of realm. So you could go to Infant Socks and work there.
Okay.
So Infant Socks, Model Laundry. The third big employer of women was the Bonita. And the Bonita was located on 1st Street. It was a huge candy factory. It became, now, one thing I did not know is the candy bar was invented in the United States. It's a U.S. product that nobody else had before we had that. And the Bonita became nationally known for its Leaping Lena candy bar. So this was a huge factory. I think it was like three stories, big factory on 1st Street, which is now a parking lot. But that was the one, that was the third large company that would employ women.
Okay.
And so those were your options. Infant Socks, Model Laundry, or the Bonita. That's where you went to work. In the Bonita, there were different aspects of production, and then there was a chocolate room where, you know, so they divvied it up. But they became nationally known. Leaping Lena became one of the more famous candy bars in the country in its time. So there weren't very many options for women who in the 20s and 30s, when, you know, if they went to school and finished school and still hadn't married, what did they do to earn money to help contribute to the family? And Infant Socks or Model Laundry or the Bonita. Those were the main employers that you first tried out at.
Clothing or candy? Clothing or candy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. My mother actually worked at the Bonita, and my dad always said, well, why wouldn't you want to date a woman whenever she got into your car, she brought in the smell of chocolate with her?
That's a good point.
Yep. So that's how that worked. But it seemed to be more relegated to what they did at home. Like dressmaking was your first step, because that you still made your own clothing most of the time. Many people still did. And sewing was something that, hey, if you did it often enough, you became very adept at it. I know that my dad talked about my grandma always. She started as a youngster, as a young lady before she got married. She did work at some factory that required sewing, and I'm not sure just where she worked. So she developed that skill, and she sewed and made kids' clothing for at least 50 years, almost all her life. She was always making clothing for other people, as well as her own big brood of 10 kids.
So, wow.
Sewing was something that would be your first step if you needed the income. But that was also for, if you suddenly found yourself a widow with small children, you couldn't leave the children alone, but you could take women into your house as a dressmaker, because then you still could work, and it was work you were doing at home, which was, some salvation if you found yourself in those kind of straits.
Right.
So
interesting stuff.
It is. It's astonishing. Some women had a good enough business that they had their own storefront, more or less, on Main Street. Mm-hmm. Although a lot of these businesses were always second floor,
right?
And maybe the person lived above the second floors were usually the dressmakers or the photographers. Photographers usually, because they needed a lot of big space to set up to take your portrait.
Mm-hmm.
Those were usually second floor businesses. And then the dentists and the doctors also were the second floor businesses. And then the storefronts were, first floor were all the big stores, the clothing stores, the grocery stores, those things. So it... early days, it's kind of astonishing to look through old city directories and see. One of the fascinating things in the 1936 city directory is there also was a dressmaking school at 9 Forest Avenue.
Wow.
So that the women could learn dressmaking and probably get adept at using those big pattern templates.
Mm-hmm.
But the one difficult thing about dressmaking is fads and styles changed every year, and they had to adapt and keep up with the latest styles. And I can't imagine that was easy to keep up with.
Right, for sure.
So there were still opportunities there for women. They made the best of it. It was, they didn't consider it unusual because everybody was in the same boat. Mm-hmm. You had those three opportunities, and you took advantage of it. You used it.
Absolutely. Well, we've come a long way, that's for sure.
Yes, we have.
It goes without saying, I think.
Great.
Tracy, thanks so much. As always, we're out of time this time around. We'll talk in a couple weeks.